10:02 on March 20th, 2025. We know what that means. It means it's time for a Finance Committee meeting for the Arizona Board of Private Postsecondary Education. Pursuant to ARS 38-431.02, notice is hereby given to the general public and to members of the Arizona State Board for Private Postsecondary Education that the board will hold a finance committee meeting open to the public on the date and time indicated above. The meeting will be held digitally online. A full meeting agenda and list of applications to be considered can be found online at ppsc.az.gov. The board reserves the right to change the order of items on the agenda, except for those matters set for a specific time. The formal hearings and formal interviews are scheduled to be heard during specific time blocks. The board chairperson, however, reserves the right to call cases in random order. Americans with Disabilities Act, persons with a disability may request reasonable accommodation, such as a sign language interpreter or a copy of this document in an alternative format by contacting Mr. Kevin LaMountain, executive director himself, at 602-542-5716 or the TDD number at 800-367-8939. Welcome, everyone. My name is Paul Mittman, and I am going to turn it over to Mr. LaMountain to take the roll call.
Dr. Mittman?
Present.
Mr. Ball?
Present.
Ms. Rome?
Present.
Mr. Blanchard?
Present.
Kevin LaMountain? Everyone is, everyone's here.
Perfect. Okay. First item is to accept the audio. I'm going to make a motion to accept the audio recording of the December 12, 2024 Finance Committee meeting as the official meeting minutes. And can I get a second?
I'll second.
All right. Mr. LaMountain?
Dr. Mittman?
Aye.
Dr. Mittman votes aye. Mr. Ball?
Aye.
Mr. Ball votes aye. Vote of two ayes, no nays. That motion will pass.
Great. Thank you. All right. Next agenda item is the review, discussion, and possible action on financial status, request decrease in surety bond, and removal from quarterly financial reporting. This is the Arizona Automotive Institute. And I can see several members already there. Who would like to give us an opening statement?
I will take it. Good morning, everyone. My name is Laura Rocco, Executive Director at AAI. Like you mentioned, I'm joined today by several colleagues. We have Joe Feiler from our finance department, Yvonne Keekley, and Dalen Childress from Senior Leaders in Operations, and Amber Powell from our compliance manager. I can't believe we are already towards the end of the third month of 2025. Time is certainly flying by. But I'm pleased to share with you today some positive updates regarding both AAI and Ancora's continued strong performance. Building on the strong start and retention achievements of 2024, we entered this year with a student population exceeding 500, which has driven strong financial results earlier in the year than in the past several years. So both February and January's financials are finalized, and I'm happy to report that all major KPIs, including revenue and EBITDA, are outperforming budget targets, and we expect this positive trend to continue. Now, while AAI's campus financials have remained strong for some time, we're now seeing company-wide financials align with that strength. The strategic initiatives around the trade program expansion, growth in Ancora's training divisions, our online platform, and increased ground campus enrollments contributed to the positive outcomes that are reflected in our 2024 audited financials. These results include, drumroll, positive net income for both AAI and the organization as a whole, a composite score of 2.1, and improved revenue diversification with an 85-15 ratio of federal aid to outside sources. We've achieved this stability through disciplined processes and effective strategies across the organization. With momentum building and an anticipated ownership transition from a private equity model to a traditional education platform, one that's known for its financial strength, longevity, and student success, we are well positioned for this to continue growth. So on the topic of student success, AAI's program demand remains strong. With recent start successes, dropout rates currently at 1.65% for the year so far, and all of our 2025 programs exceeding accreditation benchmarks. I'd also like to extend an invitation for our first graduation ceremony happening in 2025, taking place this Saturday, March 22nd at the Palmcroft Church here in Glendale at 12 p.m. We're going to have over 100 graduates walking the stage and participating, with over 1,000 guests expected. It really is a wonderful opportunity to celebrate our students' achievements. And for those unable to attend, please like our Facebook page, because we're going to be sharing hundreds of photos right there on our page. So given our sustained financial performance, operational stability, and continued positive outlook, we respectfully request a reduction in the surety bond and a removal of quarterly financial reporting, either in total or with a shift to biannual or annual reviews. And we thank you in advance for your time and consideration.
All right. Thank you so much, Ms. Morocco. Congratulations on all counts. Can you give us an update on the change of ownership?
Yes. I can take this, and some of my colleagues may as well. Okay. I know there's some notification that came to you from compliance around Lindenwood Education Services with a transaction date expected in April. So that's still pending, but looking to move forward. And that will move us into the traditional education platform of Lindenwood Education Systems and Dorsey College. Amber, Yvonne, do you want to share anything on that?
The only thing that I have to add, unless you have any specific questions, is that the transaction is still anticipated to complete on 4-1. We will be submitting that notification of change of ownership within that first week of that transaction. So we'll be submitting all applicable documentation, their financials, which we can share strong at that time also. Anything else, Yvonne, that you would like to add?
I think that's good.
Okay.
Well, like I said, congratulations. And, you know, the board is certainly very open to making the changes, both to the quarterly review and to the surety bond. I'm going to propose, however, that we do this at the upcoming board meeting on June 19th, 2025. That way we'll have the change of ownership done and, you know, happy to revisit it then. And, you know, I think you're aware that we require 2 years of audited financial statements where there's a profit or a net increase in assets. And, you know, you've already achieved that. And so, we'll look forward to seeing you guys in June.
Perfect. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you.
All right. Thank you, you guys. Thanks and congratulations and on graduation too.
Thank you.
Okay. Next up, Phoenix Institute of Herbal Medicine and Acupuncture. Is Catherine here?
She is. Catherine. Okay.
Hello.
Hi, Catherine.
Can you hear me?
Sure.
Okay, great. I've been having microphone problems. Hello to you, Paul. It's been a long time. Good to see you.
Yeah. Nice to see you. Yes. Would you like to make an opening statement that I'm going to ask for maybe if staff has anything to add?
Yes.
So, go for it.
I'd like to. Thank you. First of all, I want to apologize to staff for some confusion in the email and the attachments. We will call next time to make sure everything gets through. So PIMA, which stands for the Phoenix Institute of Herbal Medicine and Acupuncture, was established 30 years ago. We started out in old elementary school, just like Sonoran did, Southwest Institute, and grew to our current location on Bethany Home Road. And just as we have for the past 30 years, we've been navigating the economy And these past 2 years have been the most challenging. Schools have been down about 30% in revenue. Four big schools in our industry as well chose to close. But we are part of the group that is a little bit smaller, more agile and entrepreneurial. And we've been strategically restructuring and addressing what needs to change as we've been going forward. So we've been adapting to change as we have for the past 30 years. As you can see, though, we are still in the process of coming out of it. I'm glad to hear from Lauren that things are going well for them, because that's a good sign for the economy. And I'm hoping we will piggyback on that growth as well. We did have, over the past couple of years, about 130 doctors and acupuncturists that we have graduated. And like many of our colleague schools, we have not been able to replace student for student with those graduating due to the economic climate. But we're hoping with the economy change, administrative change, that we will be able to do that. We also recognize that there's an overall decline in student population in terms of the age of students going to school. However, our medicine has traditionally been funded on re-careering in older students who find conventional medicine not as effective in their current careers dissatisfying, so we hope and expect to weather some of that a little more favorably. I will say that our students are doing well, our graduates, and they are paying their loans off. We have a very low default rate. And I think the big elephant in the room for us is a very delayed financial audit. And our auditor did send us an update, which we forwarded to you. And we hope to have something this week. But it's been a long time for that. So I'm happy to answer any questions that you might have.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Mr. LaMountain, Ms. Nemeth was referring to some delays in some of the materials. Is there anything, and that there's some new materials. Is there anything that you'd like to add to that?
Sure, and I'll turn it over to Ms. Rome here in a moment. But so this has been brought to our attention. I've had a chance to talk to Catherine a couple of times over the last few months. Certainly, we were notified from staff that payroll was missed a minimum of, I believe it's two times, may have been more than that, but two times. And the payroll was made eventually, which is what brought the finance really up to our the top of our list. I will just tell you, and Catherine, you know, I want to work with you. I'm here to help you, but you have to help yourself in terms of when we've got a situation that's going on, like you have at your institution, that communication to us is critical. I have sent numerous emails, numerous phone calls where I had to call your front office to have them come back and get you to make a phone call back to me. Of the 237 other schools that we license, and you're the only one that I've had to do that to. And I want to call it out on this call so that everybody else that's listening understands that we're here to help, not to hurt. But if a call is made by our office to you, it should be returned. If an email is made from our office to you, it should be returned. That has to change, that whole process for you has to change, or I'm at my wit's end, really, to be honest with you. So sorry if I seem emotional about this, but everybody else is doing it right, and even if they're in trouble, even if they're having troubles and difficulties, they're communicating effectively to us. You're not. Ms. Rome, I know that something came in this morning. Did you want to update Dr.
Yeah, Dr. Mittman, members of the committee. So Ms. Nemec sent in the financial documents that, so every school gets the same email from me with the required financial documents that they have to send in. And a couple of those documents are the reports that are like spreadsheet reports that they fill out that are generated by us as a staff. And the other documents that they have to send are their own in-house or audited or CPA completed reports that justify what they put on our spreadsheets that we have created. And they're the same ones every time for every single committee meeting. And although they were sent in, some of them were sent in, there were not all of the financial documents were provided. And I replied to the email that Catherine sent, letting her know these have not been provided and I can't open this one document. And then I didn't hear anything. I get an email from her this morning saying something about her email being hacked or, you know, it's lost in something, but it's like the last hour before the meeting. And I have other people asking me questions too. So it is not provided in your, actually there was nothing new provided because what she sent this morning was exactly what she sent the first time. So we don't have all the documents because they have not been provided.
It's not right. So Mary.
Yeah, go for it.
Comment, please. Thank you. So first of all, thank you. The payroll that we just to let you know the payroll issue. We did inform our staff that in the break between semesters that there would be a delay of a week, and we worked with them at all times. We covered payroll, and so that has been, and they were on board with it, and we all worked together. We knew that that has happened ages ago in the past, and this was because of the economy, but we kept them covered. With regards to the email, my account did get hacked so that everything that I sent out was marked as spam. So we finally fixed that. Also with the grouping of the emails in the same line, it didn't show the new emails coming in, so I've had a problem with that. That being said, we sent 6 to 7 documents, which I believe are the documents that are required. There was one that was not PDF'd, which I just sent again this morning. I am happy to go through very thoroughly with you to make sure that you receive these documents. We prepared them and sent them. So, and you do, Kevin, you do have my cell phone, and I'm not sure what happened with reaching me while I'm in the office, but I'm not trying to avoid you by any means. You guys are very important to us, and so you are a priority, calls and emails. So to that end, we'll make sure that it doesn't happen again, and I apologize for the frustration that it must have caused. We'd rather be recognized for something else than them.
Okay. Well, thanks everybody for openly sharing. And Kevin, you about to say something? Mr. Lamont.
No, I'm good.
You're just leaning in.
I am leaning in.
About to say. So the question now is, we have your in-house income statement for 2024. On the other hand, it's kind of hard, like you can't really have a balance sheet because you don't have an completed audit for 2023, right? I think that's still waiting. So we really can't get like a good sense of the overall health of the institute without that. How have you kind of dealt with the education, the U.S. Education Department, as far as like composite score or things like
yes.
that,
yes.
For the, because I know in 2022 you reported 1.7 composite score, and I was just wondering, what did they cut you some slack or something for 2023?
Yes. So here's the current situation with the Department of Ed. We talked with one staffer there who was checking in on delays, and we provided her documentation of all this, and she was satisfied with that. So they have they consider it a justified delay with the audit. And with the prior issue that they had with the audit, that was a concern, was a secured interest, which every auditor has approved and validated, as well as in 2013, when they first looked at it, the Department of Ed, they approved us with that as well. So they have a history of recognizing that it's valid all the way up until now. And so we presume that that will continue. I don't know, but we'll see what happens. And so far, so good. We're waiting, and I don't know what's going to happen today with the Department of Ed. So that being said, that's another factor that's
going to be. Yeah, for sure. So So you're not, you know, the Department of Ed is not required, like, either heightened cash management or letter of credit or anything
not
like
at this
that.
Time.
Heard on yes. the composite score. And yes. So when do you anticipate having the 2023 audit completed?
You're expecting a draft this week. And okay. Yes, so.
Okay. Then when does your board meet so that you can, approve or adopt or accept the audit?
Okay. Yes, we're planning a meeting this next, the first week of April. So that being said, they can meet interim just for that purpose as well.
Okay. And then, so once that happens, then you have the pleasure of starting it, the
yes.
audit for 2024.
We're going to start early.
Okay. So in the unaudited or your financial statements for 2024, you showed a loss, I think, of $135,000. Do you know what it was for 2023 unaudited?
2023 or 2024?
Well, you did submit. I have documents that you submitted here for 2024. So I'm assuming. I don't know. Well, it kind of doesn't matter. Mr. Lamont, when's the next finance committee meeting? Is it before June or after?
It's in June.
So we're having a board meeting and a finance committee meeting in June?
No, we have a board meeting next month.
Okay.
So in April, one in May, and then a finance in June.
Okay. Then why don't we have Pima come back to the board at the April board meeting with the audited financials for 2023. And if you could please have a full set of financial statements in-house, financial statements for 2024, so balance sheet, income statement, and cash flow for 2024.
Unaudited.
What's that?
Unaudited.
Yeah, in-house. But I mean, once you have your audit
yes.
for 2023, then you can, you know, then you
yes.
can put those together.
Exactly.
And then, you know, and then we could also talk about, I think what you were referring to is the related party transaction that they referenced in the 2022 audit. Okay. Mr. Ball, did you have any other questions or anything that you wanted to add?
No questions.
Okay. All right. So we'll see you in April.
April.
Okay.
And probably June. Thank you so much.
Yeah. You're
welcome. Okay. Next up, we have Surah College, I think. Yep, there we go. And we have Dr. Hoffman and Mr. Killen. Who would like to make an opening statement?
Hi, all. This is Alex. I can give a brief opening statement, and then I'll pass it over to Jim so he can give a financial update for the institution. I know we just came through in January for our state license renewal. So I'll keep the operational update short and focused on our accreditation. We have our accreditation, institutional accreditation site visit from DEAC on March 26th. So we're very excited about that. With targeted June approval from DEAC for our institutional accreditation. And then we have our programmatic accreditation visit from ASIN scheduled for September 16th through the 18th. So that's an anticipated target there of approval after January 2026 commission meeting for the programmatic accreditation for our nursing program. So the institution continues to move forward. Myself, I came on at the institution in February of 2024, so a little over a year now, and Jim came on, I think, 3 weeks after I did, end of February, beginning of March 2024 also. So I'll pass it over to Jim, and he can give a quick financial update for the institution.
Hi, everybody. I'm Jim Killen, CFO of Surah College. And certainly after my brief opening remarks, I'll be happy to answer any questions on the financial information we submitted. But just in summary, we're definitely still in the startup mode. And as part of that startup mode, we had planned losses. We're doing better than our planned losses. So our cost controls are working effectively. And in that regard, we plan on losing about $680,000 in 2025. We haven't lost as much as we thought, so we're still controlling those costs and making sure that we're investing the money wisely. Supporting Surah College is Dr. Aman, who is the 100% shareholder, and he's committed to invest over three times our needs. Our remaining needs for to get to break even, which will be in May of 2026. We'll be close to break even in the first quarter, losing about $5,000 to $10,000 a month, but we actually turned the corner for good in May of 2026. So we feel we have enough capitalization to make it through easily, to hit all our strategic initiatives that we have, and feel very comfortable with where we are today.
Great. So right now you have, I think you have 15 students enrolled, correct?
Right.
I'll let Alex comment. Yeah.
Oh yeah. Right now we have seven students enrolled at the institution.
Yeah, we graduated quite a few at our last graduation.
Okay. And they've all been on, I think it was just termed presidential scholarships, right? So they were tuition free, or were they paying anything?
Our first paying student happened in December. And so instead of full scholarships, we're on partial scholarships for some of the existing students, and some are still on full scholarship, yes.
Okay. So, yeah, I must have been looking at the prior period. It looked like only $1,900 of revenue, so a little, yeah. A little bit. And in the note in your audit, it says that stockholder pledged significant financial support, which you just mentioned, $2.5 million. Is that, I assume that that's writing if it made it into the audit?
That is in writing, yes. And in fact, Dr. Aman contributed in February $300,000 of that.
Okay. All right. And why don't we do this? Mr. Ball, do you have any other questions?
I don't have any questions.
Okay. So I'm thinking, Ms. Solomon, I'm thinking, why don't we revisit with Surah College in June? And then we can make a determination. I mean, typically a school goes on quarterly reporting when they post 2 years of consecutive losses, then they have to have 2 years of net, you know, or profit or net income. On the other hand, since your enrollment is so low, and from a student risk and risk to the state, it's pretty minimal. Why don't we see you guys effectively? It is another quarter, but we'll see you, Ed, and hopefully you'll give us an update on the DEAC site visit.
Right. Yeah, and just for clarification, we will have the DEAC site visit next week on March 26th. And I think, Kevin, you're invited.
We all know that.
Yeah, we may see you there.
I believe,
just for your information, the commission will be meeting in June. So we can certainly update you to the site visit and chair's report and so forth. But we won't have a decision from DEAC until probably the end of July.
Correct. Okay.
Well, I look forward to seeing you, Dr. Hoffman. I'll be there on Wednesday. Looking forward to it.
Great. We're looking forward to
having you. We are also.
Yeah. Yes. Thank you. Appreciate your time.
Great. Thank you all.
Yep. Okay. next. And we have a license renewal and an update from Arizona Christian University. And who do we have?
I'm here, James Tito, Executive VP and COO, along with my colleagues, Michael Werner, VP of Finance, and Dr. Green, our VP of Academic Affairs. So ACU, we're doing really well. As you know, last quarter, we closed the municipal bond, and we're in the process right now of building our baseball field out, which we've been waiting for 5, 6, 7 years, I think, for a while. But it's coming along really well. Also included with that is the soccer field and our ladies' sand volleyball courts that are being done all at the same time. So those projects go along really well. We had 11% increase in student retention from fall to spring compared to last year. So we're doing really well on the student enrollment side. Looking at fall, this fall coming up, we're targeted at 1,110 undergraduates, and we're well on our way. We're actually ahead of our plan in terms of applications and admits and deposits, and now we're getting in the actual enroll process. So we're doing good on that front. On the advancement front, we've had a couple of large gifts come in to support some internal programs for academics, as well as some other gifts that were gifts that came in to meet bigger gifts for the university. So things are going really well, and we're positive, and we're looking for a good future.
That's it?
Yeah, Michael, would you like to go over?
I was going to have him bring up
the stuff for the finances, but I thought I would wait if there were questions for that.
Okay. Being that this is the finance committee, it's probably better to start with the finances. So, Michael, you want to take it away?
Yeah. For the most part, we're doing as well as we're planning on doing because of the bond closing. We have some new resources that we can kind of put together as we finish out our campus. For the most part, students are coming in. We're spending less than we're making, which is always the goal.
And on last year's audit was we were in the black by about $1.3 million, which is a good thing. And this year we're projected to be in the black again.
Okay. And so a couple of things. What was your composite score at the end of in the your fiscal year ends, what, June 30th?
Yeah, June 30th.
Okay. So I don't think I saw it. Did we get the audit?
Yeah, we sent the audit.
Okay.
I believe the composite score for last June 30th was 0.8.
Correct.
And that was up from the year 0.2. Before. No, the year before it was 0.2. And then we went to 0.8.
Okay. Yeah, so here it is.
So we went from 0.2 to 0.8. And this year will be at 1 to 1.5, below over 1.5. Some of the challenges with the composite score is around the formulation of it. And we're looking right now, we've actually hired a company, a CPA firm, that specializes in higher ed composite scores, because we have the certain donations that came in for TURF that actually go against our composite scores. And then there's other donations that are good for the composite score. So we want to make sure we're not shooting ourselves in the foot on composite score just by taking in certain, gifts, donations, or as it relates to the balance sheet debt. But we paid off on BE Lending. We owed BE Lending $12.5 million. We paid off $8 million of the $12.5 million, and we have a piece of property right now, a church, that was donated to the school that we're in the final stages of negotiating with the Glendale School District to buy that property. And we look to close it by the end of the fiscal year, and we're going to pay off the balance of the BE Lending note, which is short-term debt, which affects the composite score. So we're going to pay that off, and we'll basically be debt-free other than the bond. Within the bond, we also paid off a $1.5 million lighting lease and some other short-term loans as well. So we're working hard to eliminate all short-term debt that affects the composite score.
Okay. You showed a significant loss at the end of quarter one, which was really the summer quarter. So I imagine that that's like the low point from a revenue standpoint, tuition, et cetera. It was a $2.2 million at the end of quarter two. Your net income was you'd lost $507,126. So I'm assuming is that trending so that as the year progresses and you continue to recognize, you know, full tuition over the winter and spring, that you'll get to the net increase in revenue?
Yeah, so I can interject here. We pretty much front load a lot of our expenses. So we spend a lot while we're coming back into the fall semester, and then it tapers out kind of as you saw. So we had that $2 million loss in the summer. Now we're up to just a $500,000, and everything will start slowing down on campus now. So it'll be less expenses, but we're still recognizing the revenue over the next few months. So.
Okay. And I think you noted that you had an auxiliary enterprise with revenue of a little over $4 million. Is that, could you just elaborate on what that is?
Yeah, for the most part, that's room and board.
Okay, got it. Okay. All right, Mr. Ball, other questions? You go first.
No questions.
Okay. All right, then I'm going to move to approve the regular accredited vocational and degree granting license, continue quarterly reporting, and maintain the $300,000 surety bond. Mr. Ball?
I second it.
Okay. And you guys agree to that if we vote in favor of it?
Yes.
Yep.
Okay. Mr. LaMountain?
Dr. Mittman?
Aye.
Dr. Mittman votes aye. Mr. Ball?
Aye.
Mr. Ball votes aye. The vote of two ayes, no nays. That motion will pass.
Okay. All right. Congratulations, you guys. Hey, how much was the bond for, the municipal bond?
$24 million.
Okay. Was that a Maricopa County IDA?
Yes.
Yeah. And what, sorry to like, now I'm prying. It's always, it's such an interesting process, isn't it? What's the interest rate that you were able to get?
It was, well, there was non-taxable and taxable, so I think it netted out at about 6.5%.
Okay. Okay. Interesting. Okay, great. And you guys had very generous covenants last time. Were you just as fortunate this time?
Yeah, we were able to push back at some of the covenants and get them a little bit more favorable to us.
I thought they were very favorable. Good job.
Yeah.
Okay, good.
Well, thank you much. Have a great day.
See you in June. Bye. All right. DeVry, what do we got?
Good morning. Good afternoon. This is John Lorenz. I'm the CFO of DeVry University, and wanted to go ahead and give you an update. I think in the materials that we submitted, you would have seen a request to be removed from the quarterly financial reporting requirement. And I just want to give you an update on where things are at from a financial standpoint. We've been here, for several quarters and obviously have provided updates. I think most people know we have completed our 6/30/24 audit. DeVry generated over $49 million of net income. And just to, again, to level set, the performance over the last several years, which has strengthened considerably, has been done with a tuition freeze over the last 5 years, with scholarships and grants increasing significantly over that time, resulting in net tuition decreases for our students. As we look at performance for fiscal year 25, we continue to see very strong performance. We have 8 months complete at this point in time. Our projection for net income for fiscal year 25 is $54 million. To give you some of the operational metrics, our student enrollment, has continued to increase back from kind of the late 2018, 2019, when we became an independent institution. We were at roughly 23,000 students most recently. That has grown to over 32,000 students. Other things I would just highlight from a balance sheet standpoint, we continue to generate significant cash. Presently, we have over $100 million on the balance sheet with no debt. Our composite score for our most recent audited financials is a 2.5. And just a touch locally of what's happening from a Phoenix standpoint, I think most people are aware we've been very committed to the state of Arizona. We have moved from our Dunlop location to a new location on 19th Avenue, and that has been going very well for us. If you take a look at the financials related to that location, it went from a loss of over $1.2 million the last couple of years down to our 6 months in, we're basically at $71,000 from a loss perspective. And so given our significant improvement in our financial condition over the last several years, as well as our commitment to the state of Arizona and what's been transpiring there, our request to the committee is to be removed from that quarterly reporting requirement. Open for any questions.
Do you have any good news to share? Sorry to steal the show from you, Don. Mr. Ball, any questions?
No questions.
All right. Well, I would say based on, you talked about the last fiscal year, I think the year before, you had $38 million in increase in net assets. Your balance sheet was strong. You had $390 million of revenue, so that's gone up about $35 million year over year. And so I'd like to make a motion to approve the regular accredited vocational and degree granting license and remove DeVry University from quarterly reporting. Can I get a second?
I'll second it.
Okay. Mr. LaMountain.
Dr. Mittman.
Aye.
Dr. Mittman votes aye. Mr. Ball.
Aye.
Mr. Ball votes aye. By the vote of two ayes, no nays, that motion will pass. Jacqueline, I see you asked me a question. They did submit a letter. It's in the folder.
Is it in there?
Yeah.
Okay. Okay. Thank you.
Okay. See you guys next year.
Thank you.
Have a wonderful day. We'll take it.
Okay.
Thanks.
All right, next up, our friends at Huntington University. Hey, you're kind of sound weird. Try it again. You're sort of like in an echo kind of thing. Is that right? Try it again. Maybe it's my.
No, it's not it.
Maybe it's me, not you.
No, it is. It's coming across. James, can you move yourself a little closer to the microphone? Or
yes, it is okay.
It's okay. How about we've seen Connie a bunch of times. Connie could probably pull this off.
Connie can try, but I've lost my voice. So if you can hear me.
I hope this isn't all going around.
I don't think we could spread it through this, but hopefully not. I will go ahead and try to share with you here.
Well, I tell you what, why don't I can share based on the update that you gave us, and then you guys can fill in whatever I'm missing. Okay.
Okay.
So you're, from a revenue standpoint, tuition fees, gifts and grants, you're up about $768,000 year over year. And your expenditures are ahead of the prior year by $842,000. So I don't know if that means that they're less or that they're more year over year by 842. And you are currently through, I think, half a year, showing a net increase of assets around $910,000. I might be looking at, the previous year. I know that, I guess in fiscal year 24, you ended up with a small profit or a small increase in net assets, 21,653. The year before, was a loss. So I guess the question is, where are you guys at now as you're approaching? Because you have a weird year end, don't you? Don't you have like March 31st or something?
It's May 31st.
Oh, okay, May 31st.
Yes, and so we had budgeted for a loss this year. Our budget included a loss, but we were still planning to meet our ratios and our debt covenants and the COE. And we are expecting to end the year as we had anticipated. And so we will have a loss year, but we will meet all those ratios and will not have a debt covenant issue or an issue with the DOE.
Okay. And what was your last composite score, you know, for
2.3.
Okay. Yeah. I mean, you know, this is, I wish you were going to say that you were going to have finished the year in the black, because as much as I like seeing you guys, because you're all very nice and everything that we read about Huntington, both in Indiana, I think, and in Arizona, is always really positive. And you have a strong balance sheet, a nice endowment. And so I'd love to not see you on a quarterly basis, not for that, but from a purely self-serving standpoint, that as you can see on the agenda, we have 19 schools that we go through. So I don't know.
We appreciate that. And we don't want to either. So we're working toward that way.
Yeah. I don't know. I mean, I think from a risk standpoint, I don't see a big, risk either to the state or the students. Yeah. Mr. Ball, Mr. LaMountain, you guys want to comment on?
Dr. Newman, I don't have any comment. I mean, the institution has been extremely responsive to everything that we've asked for. We've never had any challenges or issues. Ms. Rome, you had a question?
Yeah, my question, thank you, is just, are they, if it's not on the agenda, can there be a motion to remove them from quarterly reporting?
Well, it is in a way, based upon the discussion of the financial status, they could be removed.
Okay, perfect.
Right. Yeah. So I think because we do have to approve the renewal of the license, right?
Correct.
So why don't we do this? I'd like to motion to approve the regular accredited vocational and degree granting license, remove from quarterly reporting, and ask the university to give an update in 6 months, so that the September board meeting, if we have a board meeting then, because that way you'd be halfway into your next fiscal year, you'll be at the start of the next academic year. And if, you know, hopefully things continue to go well. And then if need be, we can add you back. Or we could just be capricious and we just miss you and then we'll just add you back anyway. Okay. Can I get a second to that?
I'll second it.
Okay, Mr. LaMountain.
And just a quick question, Ms. Rom, you got the motion?
I did.
Okay, great. Dr. Mittman?
Aye.
Dr. Mittman votes aye. Mr. Ball?
Aye.
Mr. Ball votes aye by the vote of 2 ayes, no nays. That motion will pass.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Before I go, I do want to let you know that we are having some turnover in our administration. I am retiring, and we have a new CFO hired, and our president is also retiring, and we have a new president hired as well. So we did document the president in our update, but we did not document the CFO. So
you left out the most important person.
This is my last meeting, so nice to know all of you. But
look what you accomplished. Well, thank you. And
yes, thank you so much.
Hope you had a wonderful tenure and best wishes for whatever it is that you're going to do.
Thank you.
All right.
Thank you.
Okie doke. Next up, we have LifeWork. Who is here from LifeWork?
Hi, I'm Frank Swiger. I'm president of LifeWork Education, and we have with us Clint Adair, who's our operations manager, and Joan Meyer, who's our campus administrator.
Okay. So before you start, we're missing, unless I'm missing it, we're missing a bunch of information.
Okay.
And I'll let staff inform you about that. We've got losses, 1.4 million, 2 million, and then $1.9 million over the last several years. Let's see. Just looking to see if I've got the right, hold on, let me pull up my thing here. Sorry. Okay. I'm sorry, we had 19 schools to go over, and so I got my notes all over the place. Okay. So you guys have a show cause hearing with ABHES, is that right?
That's correct.
And when is that? You know, I saw the letter, I think it was February 12th. When is that going to come to the next stage?
The result is in their September 2025 meeting.
Okay. Mr. LaMountain, I've got my notes in a whole bunch of different places. I know that the show cause hearing, you've got a number of things that you need to address there with the accrediting body. I believe there are some issues here. Could you add a little bit of detail, Mr. LaMount?
Sure. I'll also turn it over to Ms. Rome as well, who
by all means.
But I did want to make it clear. So there has been some changes in LifeWork with the individual who used to do all of the compliance. That particular individual has left. Both Jacqueline and I met with Mr. Swiger. I was at probably a month or so ago to make sure that we they're kind of operating a little bit in the blind, so to speak, with some of the information that the previous individual, who was the campus administrator and compliance person, neglected to provide the institution, which is unfortunate. We have since sent to Mr. Swiger the last renewal application, try to get everybody, you know, try to get them on the right page here. It's unfortunate to be in this particular situation related to any of the other documents. Ms. Rome?
Yeah, thank you.
the instance, so LifeWork, Mr. Swigger did send in all the documentation that was needed. You might be thinking about a different school that will be coming.
So my apologies, Mr. Swigger.
That's okay.
you incurred the wrath that everybody else reserved for. Trust me, I've got plenty left over for them.
Well, and I will say he has been very good about providing everything we could ask for in a very timely manner, especially knowing that this was kind of thrown into his lap. So I very much appreciate that. But as far as the rest of the documentation, it's there. There is an email in there talking about the cash pay student summary, and we requested that because of the situation with the show cause. And potentially understanding where they are with if there's a potential for having to collect on strife. Any questions?
And to Jacqueline's point too, I would agree, Mr. Swigger, you've been really, really compliant and helpful to this board and to the staff. So I do want to thank you for being as open and forward thinking as possible. So thank you very much for that.
I appreciate it. Like you said, sometimes your circumstances get unfortunate, but if you, stick to your to your internal morality and with what you do, we have great people inside who really were able to join together and I think really put things back together than we did. And we're actually looking much better this year than we have for a while. But as far as just an overall summary, then I think that can take it away. We had our school campus director and head of student enrollment leave without notice, and left with a lot of documentation. And they're in the middle of trying to open up the competing school. It's a tough situation. I'm sorry to even have to bring things like that up, right? But things like that happen. In the end, we're better off because we have the last few quarters, things weren't going in the direction we wanted them to go. And even our show cause, just a simple one thing, we're just not turning in an agreement. There's just basic, basic operational things. However, we think we're in good shape on our show cause, but we've talked about that, but we've already have met the obligations, but now there's a documentation of those obligations and, we're being turned in. As far as on the fiscal front, this is about a Peoria campus, I believe. So I'm like trying to hone in there. It's just one satellite campus. And it's again, an odd thing to report on, but basically because of our accreditation through ADVES. We have one program out of several that is accredited. It needed to be in its own physical address or something that was because we had other vocational programs that weren't accredited by ADVES, and some actually were just impossible to be accredited by ADVES. So we had to move it to its own satellite campus, which on its own, as a satellite campus, in the campus we had to put it in just because of occupancy already leased, so to speak, for physical facilities was expensive. So the program is sitting in an expensive large facility that that we can't put other programs in. So the financial look a little skewed that lease is coming due. We're going to be able to downsize, same location, and get right-sized in 2026, Q1. So we're running through it this year, and we'll go subsidized. So we're going to be in good shape there. Q4 2024, the program is small. Later on that year, we had our first enrollment. Double the size of any enrollment in the past, which is getting more along the lines of what we used to. Enrollment's returning. It came back to doing the blocking and tackling need to be done to properly run a program, to run a school. Those things were just being lost. We have the new folks we have in are doing those things, and we're starting to see the results pull through. With a focus on quality, focus on the people inside,
and the frontline employees being given the attention they need and support they need. The program is back on track. We're looking at this year at 22% growth over last year's. What seems like a large number compared to the past year's performance. However, it was just basically a return from post-COVID numbers. It really was. We have a portion of our business is mandated training, then we have vocational practice, which just falls under you all. And on the mandated training side, it was very ambiguous and really hard to predict coming out. So we're dealing with large hospital systems. And in 2025, really just in Q1, we saw the performance return. And back to a very predictable cadence with with attendance in schools, and everyone's kind of just getting back into stride again. So we're returning back to numbers we used to see. That along with operational efficiencies. We had a lot of brick and mortar, and those leases are now maturing, and we're not renewing and getting back into the size we belong. And so a lot of that operational overhead that we've seen plague in the operation over the last couple of years is all coming off. So $1.6 million come off of last year. This year will be another $600,000. So that alone will take our bottom line to a net positive income in March of this year. And we're tracking to do that. And it should stay positive all the way through. So we'll have around a $600,000 positive income at the end of 2025 and about a $1.4 million adjusted EBITDA positive. So the numbers I'm happy to see. Let me say it's been a few years of some rough going, but we're starting to get things back. As far as any more questions, more for the local guys there, I think they can probably help you when it comes down to what's going on internally at the school and the campus. So I can turn over to
Clint. Yeah. Okay. Well, thank you. We have a staff proposed action, Mr. LaMountain, to refer the institution to the next board meeting, which will be in April, for the license renewal. And it also mentions a stipulated agreement and submission of student records. Is that current thought?
Yeah, so Dr. Mittman and Mr. Ball, the concern that we have is the show cause, obviously, and the financial in the change in leadership. And because we do not have our AG on this call, in order to do a stipulated agreement, it would be best if we wanted to include what you see in there, which is basically the state retain the student transcripts, then we would need that to be through a stipulated agreement, which would be then done by the board.
Okay. Then why don't we do that? So Mr. Swigger, we'll see you again next month. And the next month, I will greet you more civilly right off the bat. And then you'll probably have some communications with staff regarding some of the maybe some updates if there's anything with the show cause hearing and materials before them. Okay. Well, great. Well, thank you so much, and thanks for the work that you're doing to get life work back where it needs to be.
And a point of clarification too for Mr. Swigger and Dr. Mittman and Mr. Ball, even though your license will show that it expires at the end of this month, it obviously will not. You're fine. You are in compliance with us up through the time that the vote would happen during the meeting in April. So don't be concerned about that. And if you have any issue with an accreditor or anything of that, just send me an email and I will take care of the problem.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Sure. Hi. Next up, Nelson University. And who would like to make an opening statement? Is that you, Mr.
Hi, I'll jump in. I'm Jay Truern. I'm Vice President for Business and Finance, the CFO of Nelson University. We also have Kevin Miller, who represents the Arizona campus. Trenton Polk, who handles all of our multi-state authorizations, among other things, and Juan Padilla, our director of accounting, are all involved on the call here. I would just say our our finances continue to improve. We're not to where we want to be yet, but we are on a good trajectory. I would characterize it as, if you look in the rearview mirror, it paints one picture. If you look through the windshield, it looks like a very different picture. We are on the cusp of that change point. Well, a year ago, we showed a loss of a little on the Arizona campus of a little over $1 million. This year, we're projecting a loss of just under 400,000. And then we're in the process of building next year's budget, and next year's budget, we fully anticipate being in the black. And that's, while it is an ambitious budget, it is not just aspirational, something we would aspire to. It's actually what we believe to be achievable based on the trends and the data that's available to us. Our enrollment numbers are just over the top, beyond anything we would have ever thought even 2 years ago. We've grown significantly this year. Every indicator shows that we will grow significantly again next year. Just a couple years ago, the grand total enrollment was in the 50s and 60s. Today, we've got 120 plus in the spring semester, and we anticipate 175 in the fall. The result is our top line revenue, gross revenue, next year should grow by 900,000 over this year, while expenses will grow. Some of them will grow just in step with that, not nearly as much. So we should see only a couple hundred thousand increase in expense, coupled with a 900,000 increase in revenue, which should put us in the black. And I put it on my calendar as I listened to these other schools go and their process. In 2 years and 3 months, I anticipate asking you to take us off of quarterly reporting. But it will take that long because we need to show 2 years of in the black to get there.
Great.
Our composite score, by the way, since you asked that on another school, stands at 1.8 in our most recent audit report. If you go back pre-COVID, we knocked down threes year after year after year. COVID has hit us, but as I said, we were turning the corner, and we should be back on solid footing starting this next year. The parent organization has shown losses the last couple. The parent campus will not show a loss this year. We're going to be on the plus side, and again next year as well.
Okay. Well, and the composite score at 1.8 is still solid. It's solid ground. It's just that, you know, we all know that, you know, for small schools, you know, a year or two with a loss, you know, it's solid ground, but it inches closer to the.
It does. That composite score, I've noticed through over the years, it's interesting how it works. They really like you to have cash on hand, and they don't mind if you have debt, long-term debt. I mean, you can be really loaded on debt, and it doesn't hurt your composite score at all. It's an odd thing to me, but yeah.
Well, congratulations on, all the good things that are happening, and especially here in Arizona. You're in tech.
Yes.
Okay, good. Mr. Ball, any questions or comments?
No questions and no comments. Looks good.
Okay. Good. I had a question, but I'm not even going to bother. So I'm going to make a motion to approve the regular accredited vocational and degree granting license and continue quarterly reporting. And I get it. Oh, there we go. Mr. LeMountain? You know, I'll call the vote. We have a motion and a second.
Dr. Pittman?
Aye.
Mr. Bowen?
Aye.
For the vote of two ayes, no nays, that motion will pass.
All right. Here we go.
Thank you very much.
Be well. See you in June. Okay. Next up, Ottawa University.
Good morning. Great to see you all again. This is Bill Sutsui, Chancellor at Ottawa University, and I have Craig Kispert, our CFO on the line, I believe, and also Tom Corley, our controller. Craig will talk in a minute about the financials. I'll just give my usual broad overview. We had a good start to the spring, which is nice for the budget for sure. We hit and exceeded our enrollment targets in Kansas and our online division. And here in Arizona, we closed the gap significantly on our budget miss from the fall. If you go back to fall, we missed our undergraduate enrollment target by about 60 students, even though the enrollment numbers were up over previous year. But this spring, we have narrowed the gap between our budget and the students we have on campus to only 25 undergraduates. So that's some progress there. And across our residential campuses this year, we've seen good results with discount rates, that they have shown strong discipline, which is helping the bottom line. Looking forward, especially here in Arizona, we now have our proposal into the Arizona State Board of Nursing for pre-licensure nursing on the Surprise campus. We are moving forward with our plans to gain ABET accreditation for our engineering program here. That's, we're currently finishing up the curriculum approvals internally. We'll be submitting that to the HLC soon. And as you will see in the notes, we are adding flag football to our campus here, which I think will be sport number 34 across the on this campus, and can barely count across the university. Meanwhile, looking university-wide, a couple pieces of good news. The application to our accreditors for our physician assistant program in Kansas City has now been submitted. They'll be visiting in May, and we plan to start launching that in January of next year, which would be a significant revenue boost for the university. And our campaign, fundraising campaign, has now made it halfway to its goal. So at the end of February, we crossed the $18 million mark on a $35 million target and are feeling optimistic going forward. Craig, do you want to add anything to that?
Yeah, thank you. Hopefully, I'll try and keep this brief. I'm sitting at an airport, so hopefully this doesn't create too much mumble jumble in the audio. So I want to give us kind of a quick shout out to Jacqueline. We had a little snafu and confusion with email communication back and forth, but I think we jumped through the hoops and got all the financial information needed submitted. So appreciate her help in getting that all squared away. Dr. Satsui did a great job talking about the current year and our current situation. You know, I like the analogy that the previous Nelson provided about the rearview mirror and the front windshield, and I think that holds a little bit for Ottawa as well. This year, we're performing much better than we have in the prior year on a variety of different fronts. Enrollment, certainly, and budget control, for sure. And as a parent institution, we're in the process of getting final accreditation for a physician assistance program that'll be in Kansas. And once that's this year, it was probably about $1 million expense drain on the institution. Next year, it'll be about a break-even, according to projections, and then over the next 2 years, it'll go to a $2 or $3 million net bottom line for that program that'll add to the financials for sure. So look forward to a much brighter future for Ottawa as we continue to go through this, and happy to answer any questions.
Great. Well, thanks, and congratulations on all the new programs and flag football. And if it's good enough for the Pro Bowl, then why not for Ottawa? Mr. Ball, do you have any questions?
No questions and no comment.
Okay. I'm looking at your actual to budget for this fiscal year, and it's through December, and is that halfway through the fiscal year? And so you're showing a you are currently showing an increase in net assets both for Arizona and for Ottawa overall. Do you expect that to continue? I imagine that your summer is probably your weakest quarter, right? Quarter one is probably your weakest quarter. So is that a trend that you see continuing on an upward trend?
Yeah, I think for sure. I think so. You know, I think, you know, as an assessment, our budget reflected about a little over $600,000 net in the black. And as Dr. Tsutsui noted, you know, we've got some ups, some downs in enrollment across the different units. But at this point, we're tracking towards I would say kind of, I'd refer to it as a soft landing relative to the budget for this year. You know, from an audited perspective, I think we'll get some help. As he mentioned, we're going through this capital campaign right now with a target on some primarily a lot of unrestricted gifts, which will help the bottom line. And then, you know, past performance is no guarantee, but had some really good endowment performance through the first 6 months of the year. And if we can at least hold on to some of that positive by the time we get to the end of the year, a large portion of that's unrestricted as well. So yep, that will also contribute to the bottom line.
We're all rooting for you there, both for our own institutions and our own retirement plans. Okay. Well, thank you so much. I'm going to make a motion to approve the regular accredited vocational and degree granting license and to continue quarterly reporting. Can I get a second?
I second it.
All right. Let's vote.
Dr. Mittman.
Aye.
Dr. Mittman votes aye. Mr. Ball.
Aye.
Mr. Ball votes aye. With a vote of two ayes, no nays, that motion will pass.
All right.
Thank you.
Thanks so much.
Thank you.
You know. All right, moving on, we've got reports. And so first up is Accord Health Institute. And now I know why I was really not in a great mood a couple of minutes ago. So let me, all right, sorry, enough for that. Who do we have from Accord?
No, it's Guillermo.
All right, Guillermo.
Daniela's here too, Daniela Bomini.
Okay. So you guys are the ones where we're missing a bunch of information. Let me just see if I can.
You might be, yes.
The what?
I said you might be, yeah.
Yeah, so here's, I don't know, let me just see, I'm kind of scrolling through my notes.
I thought I submitted everything. I it might have been because we had to change some of it last minute. Because we had some like new developments happen right as we were going to submit it. So we had to delay. So I don't know if you want me just to go through that. Because we also sent a letter that we are actually going to stop receiving students. We are just finishing the last group that we have here right now. We have about 2-3 more weeks, and then we're going to be not going to be enrolling. Well, we stopped enrolling students already, but, we were having a group of, investors, that it was supposed to jump in, and we're supposed to come into, this year with a very different, I thought this was going to be a very different meeting. But with all the developments of happening, the people that were going to work with us backed out because of the uncertainty of things like grants and everything else that's going on with, with the current policies that they're trying to do. So because of that, we actually, the one thing that was going to be kind of like our saving grace to resurface this year, kind of pulled out towards the end of February. Because of that, and the fact that WIOA has not have funds allocated for education lately, we don't really see much in a way of us trying to, keep enrolling students with such a low enrollment and everything else. Oh, there's a hand being raised.
Just so, so this is the first I've heard of this, which is really unfortunate. For one, that's the first I'm hearing it, and two, that you guys are going through this. So Guillermo, you know that we've had issues with you communicating with us. If you were at the beginning of the meeting, you heard I was upset with another school. You're in the same boat. My question though is, so from what I'm understanding right now, you're closing your school. Is that correct?
No, we're not.
You don't have students going to continue.
We don't have students right now because, again, the primary ways that we're enrolling students, WIOA is pretty much having no funds for us. So if we send a student for them, they can. So we have been operated for 11 years. We don't want to give up on our school, not yet. We know that there is some things that are kind of being readjusted because of all the new government policies that are being implemented. Because of those uncertainties, the people that were trying to invest with us, and there were going to be some other parts that we were going to try to move along with, essentially pulled out for the time being. We don't want to keep accruing more debt, because of that. So we do that reason why we, and that's kind of like the part that I tried to do quite a few different things at the same time, and my apologies for not submitting things as I should have. We kind of want to go into, say we're not enrolling, but we as a company want to, kind of revisit some other options for us to gain the ability to get funding for our students. Let it be through a nonprofit or some other things, but we don't want to close our programs.
And let me just say from this point, Dr. Mittman and Mr. Ball, I think the best thing for us to do right now is just to take this conversation offline so that we can figure out what's going on with the institution, because I'm not comfortable with where we're at, and I don't think we're going to gain any more information at this point in time. So if you're comfortable with that, Dr. Mittman and Mr. Ball, we'll take it sure. offline. We will get back in touch with you. Yeah.
And Mr. Mountain, when does Accord's license expire?
They are
December of this year.
Okay. So what we'll end up doing is, Dr. Mittman, I'll, depending upon where we're at after the conversation I have with Guillermo, we may put the institution on the April board meeting for discussion and possible resolution to the issues that we've one had with the school and two where they're at currently with enrollment.
Right. Okay.
Okay.
Thank you very much.
We will be in touch.
Okay.
Thank you.
All right. ABL. So we got.
Hey, good morning. How are you folks doing?
We're getting there, Tom.
There we go. All right, I'll kick it off. I sort of like the rearview mirror scenario that's been used by some of the other schools. We left the last meeting we had with you folks with some pretty bad news about some of the revenue that was coming in, but also that we had gotten distracted as a school talking to another school about a possible merger. And that got us distracted and disengaged from some of the marketing we were doing. We have closed down those discussions with the other school, a lot of lessons learned there, but we closed them down. We've totally refocused our marketing. Some really good news about Army Ignited and Navy Ignited and our DOD contracts. They're still performing. There's still some revenue coming in from that. And Arizona at Work with WIOA, we made some real conscious efforts to reach out to the career advisors and staff there because they had shown that they admitted they did not know what cybersecurity was. So their career advisors were having trouble pointing people towards that field. So we held a number of seminars by phone and online. That has then re-engaged them and opened the door to more WIOA candidates coming in, and then our social learning marketing has kicked off as well. And the good news there is that we're now experiencing anywhere between 8 to 10 new leads a week coming in. And out of that 8 to 10 new leads a week, we're converting a decent number of those. We, in the last month and a half, we've picked up 14 new students, which equates to over $120,000 of new business coming in. And we've redesigned the website, and that's also attracted some new activity. And then also the some of the native tribes have re-engaged as well. So we're picking up revenue. We're picking up students. We're very happy with the, like I said, with the D.C.-based Department of Defense business kind of starting over again. And, of course, we're happy that WIOA is performing and is re-engaged. And a number of their senior management people have said that they will start having, like, making sure their people fully understand what cybersecurity and IT is really all about. We provided fact sheets to them that they could use in-house to help reinforce their learning. And bottom line, we've been paying our bills and we're moving forward with new revenue and new students.
Okay, great. Well, thank you. I think last year you finished the year $146,000 in the red, right?
Correct.
Quarter one, you were down 28. So that's about, you know, if you annualize that, that's probably about 120-ish thousand in the red. How is quarter two looking?
Quarter two is looking a whole lot better with these new students coming in, because it's a they're 100% paid, and so we're not having to rely on the collections.
And you had budgeted for 35, is that right?
35,000 or 35 students?
I don't know. 35,000 students sounds good. 35 students.
Wouldn't that be nice? Yeah.
Yeah. So I think you'd.
Yeah. And so in the last month we picked up 14. So, you know, look, if you extrapolate that forward, yeah, we're looking at somewhere around 30 to 35.
Okay.
Over that time period.
Good. Okay. Good for you guys.
Yeah. Thank you. Yeah, a lot of work.
Yeah. What are you going to do?
Nothing. Marine Corps. Oh, advance and overcome. Yeah.
All right. Okay. Well, thank you. Mr. Ball.
No questions.
Okay. All right. Well, it was good to see you, Mr. Jenkins, and keep up the good work and look forward to seeing you in a few months.
Terrific. Thank you. Take care, guys.
Bye-bye. All right. Alverno College. Come on down.
My name is Mike Guns. I'm the CFO at Alverno. I just wanted to check. Okay, Joanne. Good. Are you on?
We're on.
I was referring to my colleague, Joanne, who is the VP of Academic Affairs.
That's right. We really only want to talk to you because this is the finance.
Okay, sure. So
I'll talk to whoever, but.
Yep, okay. I will be the fourth or fifth to refer to the back door, or looking out the back versus the windshield. Alverno College, on an overall basis, consolidated operations for the parent company, had losses of $8 million in 2022, $9 million in 2023, and $11.6 million in 2024. That does not reflect the operations today. We're a university or college built for 2,000 students. We have half that number of students than we had in the past. Under the leadership of Christy Brown, she's in her second year here. There's been a change in overall leadership. And as of July 1st of 2024, there was a reduction in force to attempt to align the number of faculty and staff with the number of student credit hours taught. They knocked out $6.5 million in annual operating costs under a planned three-year turnaround. That three-year turnaround consisted of two phases. One, the RIF that I had referred to. As we continue to teach out, there'll be further reductions throughout 2024-25. This year, there have been significant other reductions in operating costs and a 13% reduction in revenue share as it pertains to our nursing programs across the board, but as well as the Arizona operations. We're on track for this year to have a operating loss of about $6.7 million, but our overall change in net assets this year will be about $3.8 million positive. We had a $10 million gift come in at the parent level, as well as a $1.5 million matching pledge, which we've met the matching requirements for. As we move into 2025, we're going to be presenting a budget for a $4 million loss, and then in our third year of the plan to break even. Overall, our enrollment our student revenues are down in 2024-25 compared to 23-24, but we were on target for where we expected to be. If we hold our own with those enrollment levels as we enter 25-26 and graduate a smaller or a larger class, you'll see that the revenues will still continue to decline, but our overall operating loss will continue to decline as well. I'll stop there with, I guess there was one other thing before I see Joanne is on here to talk about the specifics of the Mesa operations, but the Higher Learning Commission had removed El Verno from a distress designation that was in place, and it was removed in fall of 2024.
Can you hear me?
Yeah.
Thank you. I had to change offices. I was having a lot of trouble with camera and mic. I'd like to give you a brief synopsis of our MESA program operations. We continue to demonstrate strength and move forward in stabilizing enrollment and staffing. Our current headcount enrollment is 112 students. 26 of them are new, 85 are continuing, and one student returned from leave. Last December 2024, 22 students graduated and earned the BN MSN degrees in the MESA program. We have spoken to you previously about implementing the National Nursing CAS application system. That's in full effect, and we continue to grow our number of applicants. In addition, as we continue to bring the program to full capacity, we will enroll a summer cohort this summer, and as of last week, we had 22 deposits for that cohort.
What is the program again? I'm sorry.
It's a DE, Direct Entry MSN.
Okay.
Master of Science in Nursing. We have had three graduating cohorts in that program, and their first-time NCLEX pass rates remain at 100% for all three. Thank you. That's why this can't just be a finance call. Sorry, Mike. The MESA site is now fully staffed after hiring Stephanie Potter, MSN, in January. The MESA site also continues to serve as a preferred partner with Mayo Clinic and clinical opportunities for preceptorships, med-surg, critical care areas, and to provide IPE simulation for our own students, along with medical students, respiratory tech students, and pharmacy students. Over the last several months, El Verno has worked with our OPM partner, RisePoint, formerly Synergis, to negotiate better terms for our agreement to retain additional tuition revenue, and that negotiation resulted in a 13% increase in shared tuition revenue to El Verno for 2025.
Who's RisePoint again? I'm sorry.
RisePoint is our OPM. It's our online program management. The terms are negotiated. We get a 13% increase in shared revenue. That's my report. Thank you.
That 13% that Joanne refers to represents organization-wide over $1 million annually in additional revenue to El Verno and its MESA operations.
So is MESA an online program or on ground?
MESA is on ground in MESA.
Right. So that doesn't relate to the OPM. Right, because the OPM is for online, right?
No, the OPM is our partner in enrolling students into the program.
Okay. I always thought OPM means online program manager, but I get it. Okay. And then it looks like I'm seeing on your balance sheet, retained earnings, it went from 58,926 to 76,313. Mr. Guns, is that right?
I have to pull up that one. Are you looking at the consolidated?
I don't know. What I'm assuming is that this is your endowment, and you had a return of like 25%, or maybe that's just from maybe just additional donations. But you know, it's kind of, if you look at your balance sheet, quarterly financial reporting, year to date,
on the parent company?
Yeah. $76,313,709. I'm assuming that's your endowment, right?
Well, our total endowment is significantly lower than that. I'm still trying to locate the number you're referring to. We had a $10.5 million increase as a result of a gift and another $1.5 matched by, so $13 million of that as of December represents giving. And then the change in the portfolio should be probably closer to about 14, 15%.
Okay. And how big is the endowment?
The endowment for the college is roughly $25 million.
Okay. And when you had the losses that you were describing, like $11 million, $7 million, et cetera, I assume that that was all eating into the endowment.
Yeah, it was eating into the endowment. 3 years of it, this place maintained the staffing levels that it had when it had the student. Right.
Yeah. How is the morale at your school? I mean, how are you guys dealing with, it's a pretty significant reduction in staffing.
Yeah, we reduced the number of tenured and tenure track faculty by 50% last July. So needless to say, morale was pretty low. I think there's a recognition in the community that the decisions that needed to be made were long overdue. And mm-hmm. we made those folks here. I mean, I think are in it for the long term and believe in El Verno, and the morale is recovering as expected.
And okay. The president's engaged the community in a visioning process, in engaging their ideas for planning initiatives to move forward. So we are moving forward in a sort of short term, 2 to 3 year focused planning effort and inviting all voices to the table to keep momentum moving forward. People recognize we have a lot of work to do. They recognize what the rest of higher ed is doing. And I think last fall morale was tough, but it's much better this spring as we keep moving forward. The president keeps hiring new staff.
Okay. All right. Hearing no other questions or comments, best wishes to you guys. I know it's some good news, but it's also, it's not an easy task.
Thank you.
Okay. Next up, American Home Inspectors.
Hi.
Hello, everybody.
All right.
Happy spring. Today is the first day of spring, so I wanted to start by saying happy spring. And thank you.
First person, finally. We were waiting all day for somebody to say that.
Also, March Madness. I know a lot of people on my team are very involved in the March Madness of it all. So we are excited that March is here. But we sent over all of our documents, and I've got Nicole, Lily, and Damon on the phone with us, and we're here to answer any questions that you have.
Okay. So it looks like I'm trying to where are you at in your fiscal year so far? Are you on a calendar?
We're a calendar year, yes.
Okay, good. So it looks like for 24, it looks like you guys finished the year in the black, right? A little over, like close to $12,000.
For the home inspection, yes. Sorry,
yeah.
We have too many different groups. You got to make sure I know which one you're talking on.
Okay, and how about the parent company?
So parent company ended the year at an $18 million loss, but if from an EBITDA perspective, which is where we kind of more so measure our profitability, we're EBITDA positive of $24 million.
And was that through financing? Through more investments? Or?
The majority of our EBITDA add-backs is interest expense and then depreciation from M&A activity that we've done over the past few years.
Okay. All right. You should have, who's the director for American Home Inspectors here? One of you is in.
Nicole is our compliance director.
Hi. I was going to say, since you guys are in the black, you guys should just take over the parent company. Okay. I guess we're not quite a quarter in. How does the start of 25 look?
No real issues, concerns there. My life has more or less been in audit mode since we've got that kind of going on right now. So from an AHIT perspective itself, I think we're pretty much right on track. But I don't have the exact numbers I had in front of me right now. But from a consolidated purpose, we're right on budget.
Okay. And then I assume we'll see you in June, so you'll probably have your audit by then.
Yep. Yeah, it's scheduled to finish end of April.
Okay. Very good. Any questions, Mr. Ball?
No questions and no comments.
Okay. All right. Well, thanks so much, you guys, and good luck with the audit. Enjoy yourselves.
Thank you.
Thank you.
All right. We have our friends from Aspen University.
Yes. Good morning. Or actually, good afternoon. Now it's quarter after noon.
So on my screen, I have Mr. LaMountain. Adjacent to Mr. LaMontagne.
That's how I say it.
We're not brothers. Anyway, good morning, you guys. I'm Michael LaMontagne. As you know, we've met many times.
You know what? We're going to sprint. Because there were some, major things that we had to take care of. So,
okay.
Give us the update.
Yeah, the long and the short of it is that, first off, I wanted to start by saying that we received a letter on February 24th that Aspen University received from our accreditor, DEAC, a five-year renewal or reaccreditation through January 2029. So I wanted to start there. That was a long time coming, and we're really proud of that. So,
congratulations.
Thanks. Appreciate it. So for the quarter, $4.4 million in revenue. We had approximately 3,300 students. We had 323 new start enrollments. Through 9 months, we've generated $14.3 million in revenue. As we know, our marketing spend has been minimal over the last several quarters, which is why our gross margins have been as high as they are. We did start spending minimally here in the third quarter. We spent $92,000 in marketing. Generated 782 organic leads and 473 paid search leads. So it's going to take a little bit of time as we kind of slow play and limp back into the marketing spend, get the algorithms going again. And we anticipate as we start fiscal 26, $250,000 of marketing spend, that should get us into the new year and growing again. As we know, so $250,000 in the marketing spend for FY26. From a net income perspective, for the third quarter, we generated right around $40,000 of net income. We generated $517,000 in adjusted EBITDA. And then through 9 months, we have a positive adjusted EBITDA of $1.2 million. As you know, we had the full impairment of our pre-licensure liabilities impaired in the first and second quarter of approximately $4.8 million. Those are done. Those are behind us, which is good. The other note I wanted to comment on was the consolidated parent company. For the first time since I've been here, we just reported that we had a positive third quarter of operating income and operating cash flow at the parent company level. And that was really positive from our perspective. From a cash perspective, year to date ending January 31st, we had Aspen University generated approximately $3.3 million in operating cash flow. On the balance sheet, we showed $400,000 of unrestricted cash. And then at the parent company, unrestricted cash of $820,000 and $338,000 in restricted cash. That's the gist of it if we're spinning through it quickly here. So myself is here, Sherry is here, and Liz Fernandez is here for questions.
Yeah, well, thank you for walking us through that, Mr. LaMontagne. I was looking at your unaudited as you were talking through it. So thank you very much. Mr. Ball, any questions?
No questions.
Okay. And congratulations on the reaccreditation.
Thank you.
The accreditation renewal.
Thank you.
It's been kind of a long road. And how much, I can't remember, where are you at time-wise with the stipulated agreement with the Board of Nursing? Like how far out in the future do you see that?
Our Board of Nursing, we don't have, it's closed. The programs are all closed. We have nothing left with the Board of Nursing here in Arizona or anywhere for that matter.
So I'm asking, are you going to start enrolling nursing students again or
no, that? We can't. We have to wait. I believe the rule is 2 years.
Okay.
To open a nursing school in Arizona again. Okay. Yes.
So, okay. That was kind of another way of what I was asking.
Right.
Well, we should end on a good note. Congratulations on the first 9 months of profitability and also building up your cash reserves. And, and from where we were 2 years ago, you know, you guys have really gritted it out and I know it's been a lot of work. And so thank you and congratulations.
Thanks.
Thank
you, guys.
You so much. Thank you.
Thanks again.
You know. All right, Brookline. What do we got? Ms. Kelly, Mr. Gilbert, Mr. DeCarolis. All right, we'll circle back. Okay, next, Morsel Divers.
Good morning. This is Tracy Kincaid. I'm the finance director for CDI. Also on the call at the school today are Gina Phillips, our COO, and Richard Phillips, our president and chief administrator. We're very excited with how 2025 is kicking off. As we stated in our executive summary, we had a lot of challenges in 23 and early 24 with our admissions staff. Having lost an extremely talented admissions director to another school, and then in attempting to fill that position with a qualified candidate, we struggled for about a year. In August, we found an extremely talented member of our team, and he has been doing a great job. When we look at our graduation numbers year over year, we've gone from 8 graduates in March of 24, to an anticipated 16 graduates in March of 25. 23 financials, as we had submitted, we experienced a significant loss due to attempting expansion in Ohio and delays due to increased material costs and travel, et cetera. 24, we've turned the ship around. We anticipate profitability in our audited financials. We have our planning meeting for our audit on the 31st with our audit team. So we anticipate that being completed the middle of June in time for the submission deadline of June 30. For 2025, we're seeing profitability driven primarily by our increased enrollment thanks to that admissions team.
Okay. Well, congratulations on from a financial standpoint. Is there any activity on the Council on Occupational Accreditation's probation status?
We are complying with all of the requirements for probation. We do go through reaccreditation. Our visit is scheduled for September of 25, so we are in the process of completing our self-study at this time.
Okay. And I'm just looking. Are there, given that your composite score, I think, was like 0.1 at the time, where are you at with, I haven't checked the news today, the Department of Education?
We have not received any requirements from the Department of Education at this time for a bond or anything like that. We still anticipate receiving a heightened monitoring notice coming from them, but that's still in process.
Okay. Well, it sounds like you guys are figuring it out, which is
we are. The program that we have been working on in Texas in coordination with Fort Bliss for their transitioning service members, that has been a very long delay. We did finally get that MOU signed, which we've been very excited about. Now we're working on the logistics of location and all of that permitting. We're anticipating that program is going to start Q4 of this year. And we have kept boots on the ground in Texas to continue to facilitate that relationship. We have budgeted 30 service members taking courses there in Texas for 2025.
Okay, great. Mr. LaMountain?
Yes, Ms. Kincaid, if you could please do me a favor and send me notification that that Glenn Tharp is no longer with your institution and what your plan is in terms of figuring out who your compliance person is going to be.
Will do. We are in the process of interviewing replacements for Mr. Tharp, and we hope to have someone on board soon.
Thank you. If you could just send me a notification of that, I'd appreciate it.
I will do that, absolutely.
Okay. Any other questions, Mr. Ball?
I just had a quick question. I'm looking at the quarterly report you sent to the state for the first quarter of 2025.
Mm-hmm.
Where the current quarter goes from January 1 of 2025 to January 31st. The year to date in the same time frame because you're a calendar year. But there's a difference in the numbers between the two columns.
There should it's
all
be.
It's all an administrative expense. Line 9.
Let me pull. I thought I had that up in preparation. Bear with me one second. I have my year over year up, but I don't see that I must have accidentally closed it. Bear with me just a sec.
Sure. Just wondered why they were different.
That would, that is a very good question. Yeah, I understand. Give me just one second.
Mr. LaMountain, I was like, oops.
That's a lot of questions, sir.
Call me.
I apologize for that. There's no question here.
So, I've obviously pulled up the wrong report because I'm seeing 40,646.
This is the one going from 1/1/2025 to 12/31/25, and it covers the first month of the year.
There we go. Hold on just one second.
Both columns.
That is an error on my part. I apologize for that oversight, but I will get that corrected and resubmitted. They should be the same.
Okay. That's all I got.
Okay. All right. Well, best wishes, Ms. Kincaid, and you'll follow up with staff, Mr. LaMountain and staff regarding the compliance officer position.
We will do that. Thank you very much.
All right. Back to Brookline.
Can you hear us?
Yeah, now we can hear you.
Okay.
I was, hear you and see you.
I was screaming at the top of my lungs. We're here and have been since 10. So my apologies that my technology wasn't working.
My name is Erin Kelly, CFO of Unitech Holdings, which is the parent company of Brookline. Today I have Scott Gilbert, Senior VP of Strategy with me. I want to thank the committee. I know we are almost going over time, so I will do this and make this quick. Again, appreciate all the work with Jackie. I think we finally got all of our reporting and our balance sheet and cash flow reporting this year. Oh, thank you for this up. So thank you. We're thrilled. I'm going to just start with a really high-level recap of 24, and then I'll go into 25 and leave it up for any questions. But fiscal 24, I mean, I've said to this committee before, Brookline, we're in the middle of our turnaround strategy. I'm thrilled being here a year that what we executed as we progressed towards that strategy. This is not a one-year strategy. This is a three-year strategy, 3 to 4. So we were able to fill and restart our Phoenix BSN cohort, have one full year of that. As a reminder, when that was paused from 22 to 23, that took out 3 years of revenue. Future revenue, because it's a three-year program. We're thrilled that we had a full year back. The launch of our Tucson BSN, we went in to a new market with our BSN program, which we're and it's starting off very successful. We're thrilled. We continue to invest in STEM equipment in the student experience and supporting our nursing students. And also we're able with the Department of Ed to lower our letter of credit requirement. That decreases our LOC costs, and it released about $2.1 million of restricted cash from our balance sheet. When you look...
Is that the communication from March 5th?
No, we would have gotten that in September of last year, September of 24.
Could you just speak to the letter of credit communication from the Education Department, March 3rd, 2025.
Yeah, that is our formal LOC commitment. And so that was existing. They were just confirming that they finished their review of our consolidated financial statements and that.
So this reflects the new LOC that you were just referring to.
Just referring. They got through the review. They didn't increase our LOC requirements, and that's what that's basically saying. Yeah. So nothing changed there. With respect to Brookline consolidated for fiscal year, our tuition revenue was $29.2 million. We did have a loss of $1.8 million and about 1,000 students for the Brookline colleges. We ended up with a strong cash balance of $8 million. And again, as a reminder, we're part of a bigger parent group that has about $27 million of cash on hand and $5 million of an unused line of credit that is available for Brookline's disposal. When we look at the three Arizona campuses within Brookline, Phoenix, our tuition revenue was $12.9 million. We had a net loss of about $400,381. That's really driven because that 1 year of a paused Phoenix BSN cohort. So we are going to see that again ripple through 25, which our loss remains the same. We ended up with 260 student population with about 150 BSN. Our goal is going to continue to grow that BSN population. In Tempe, that's our campus that has our EMT, and it also houses our Allied diploma programs. We were at $3.4 million of revenue, net income of $0.7 million, and our student population was 174 students. In Tucson, we just invested in a new facility and just initiated the BSN program. So our net revenues were $2.7 million with a loss of $2.1 million, and now at a student population of about 140. So overall, as we go into 25 and even into our long-range plan, our goal is for all of our Brookline campuses to have BSN and pre-licensure LVM programs. Those are high-demand programs. There's a need. But what you're going to see doing that is, and that really maximizes our population to maximize that facility space that we have and that we've built out. So to do that, we have to invest. And we have to invest prudently, and that's what we've done in Tucson and in Phoenix to prepare and to support that, our long-term plan to do that,
yeah,
while balancing losses and managing costs. So when you go to 25, we are projecting right now to be at $29.7 million, a $3 million loss. Scott, you may want to mute. We are looking at, and what we're thrilled about is our growing our BSN population in Tucson. That's projected in 27. But again, we've started new programs. So we've invested. So that's driving our loss with Tucson. We will look to go to the Arizona Board of Nursing to get a approval for a VN program in our Tempe location. And I did want to point out one thing that is a one-time that is going to ripple through our 25 is in our Tempe location, we as a management team made a conscious decision to not start our November surge tech cohort because we were not able, and it continues to be a challenge, to make sure that we secure externship sites. We now can serve those and secure those, but we made that decision. That has a 25 revenue impact. It didn't impact 24. So that's why you're seeing that probably that difference in the budget versus prior year in Tempe. But it's related to that one cohort. As we start the year, we're pleased. We're 2 months in. We are at $4.3 million of revenue, and we're above budget. And we were projecting about $1 million loss, and we've halved that, about 400. So we're controlling our costs while investing through our P&L to grow these programs. So that's my concluded remarks. We are a fiscal 24 year end. So we, like my predecessor, we're in the middle of our audit. So when we come to the June meeting, we'll have updates on audit of financials.
And for the BSN, Ms. Kelly. The BSN programs, in Tucson, has it started already?
So we launched the first cohort in January.
That's fine. I was just asking if you were capitalizing the startup costs.
Oh, no. It goes through the P&L.
Okay.
The only thing capitalized is the equipment that you invest in. But no, all startup losses go through our P&Ls.
Right. And you know that you can capitalize them until you start enrolling.
Well, we had 2 months of really, it's a loss until you vested in those facilities. You do all that. So
no, I'm just saying that I know, because I've seen it with other schools, and actually our school did it also, that from a income statement or P&L statement, you can capitalize your development costs until you enroll students in the program. So if you have a year or 2 year, I don't mean to tell you, you know more about this than me, but in terms of, that might be a way, since you're making investments, I would take a look at that from a GAAP standpoint, or maybe since you're in the audit right now, talk to your audit firm about that.
Yeah, we typically, we are very prudent of when we invest in startup cost, and really we invested those startup costs in the same year that we enrolled these students. Okay. So
that doesn't apply.
Yeah.
Okay.
We're prudent with our cash that way. So.
Okay. All right. Well, good. Well, thank you for so much for sharing all of that news, and I'll let you go to lunch, at least somebody here.
Yeah. Well, thank you for everyone, and thanks for the committee's time. I appreciate it.
Thank you.
Okay, next up.
Inspection go.
All right.
Hi. I am Amy McKinney, and I am the compliance coordinator for our academy. I wanted to sort of give you an update about how Academy has changed and how we're promoting it. We decided last fall that we were going to really keep Academy as a service to the members of our Inspection Go community. These are companies that become a part of our community, that we do coaching and leadership things. And we realized that Academy would be a benefit to companies who were maybe recruiting for new employees or had an employee that needed to take a refresher course. So that has impacted. We've gone from an active recruitment mode to having it as having Academy as a service. So that shows why we had no students for 2024 for Arizona. We're really not projecting any students for 2025. We decided to close the Utah Academy. The renewal fees for Utah were higher than average, and we don't really have any community partners in that state, like companies that we work with who we thought would utilize Academy services. Everything that we do is online. It's self-paced, and so people can take the classes as they want. So that's what we changed. I know that we had our last renewal period, and I think that Weston's going to give a report here on our finances. And I think at one point he said that it was a painful process because we had a lot of trouble with our renewal. And I would like to take this time to thank Ms. Rome for everything that she did to help us. It was incredible, and she was always great and polite and was a tremendous help. And our renewal for next year will not be as painful. So I know Weston has our financial piece that he wants to give you an update on.
Yeah, I think I'll start off by echoing what Amy said. Thanks, Ms. Rome. You've been a big help through this whole process. I don't want to take up too much of anybody's time here. You guys have the financial report, so if there's just any questions, I think we can hop into those.
Okay. Mr. LaMountain?
I just have a question. So no students from last year. You don't anticipate any students this year. What?
Correct.
And maybe this is an offline conversation as well. It probably should happen offline. I'm just trying to figure out why you're even have licensure in the state of Arizona. If you haven't had anybody, you don't anticipate anybody, you're going through a lot of hoops through the finance committee and such, that is it? Do you really think in 26 things are going to turn to the point where you'll perhaps this is the best a conversation offline?
Arizona actually is our home state. That was the state where we were originally licensed. And so everything that we do for the other states, like I just did the renewal for Georgia, we report Arizona as our home state. That was where we originally got our license.
Kind of the short answer to that, Mr. LaMountain, is Arizona's got the most strict kind of reporting and compliance piece. So that's kind of widely accepted for other states. So basically, if we go through Arizona compliance and we're, you know, registered with the state of Arizona, it makes registering with every other state substantially easier. As they just mostly defer to what, you know, our registration and our compliance with Arizona as being accepted in their state. So that's the basis for maintaining registration in Arizona.
Okay. Well, that's I'm going to count that as a compliment to the board. Yeah. I'm going to give that to Mr. LaMountain because, Jacqueline Rome has like 12. Kudos. Kevin, so it's now Jacqueline 12, Kevin 1.
Yeah, it is a competition after all.
As it should be. As it should be. So
I think we should offer compliments to the whole group, you know, especially with, you know, these meetings, they're kind of brutal, they're long, and everybody does them so well. So
yeah.
All right. Now you made us all feel better. Well, thanks so much, you guys. We'll let you guys go, and best wishes. We'll see you in June.
Awesome. Thank you, guys.
Thank you.
See ya.
We're up to Pure Aesthetics. There they are.
Hello.
Who said that?
It's not working.
It's us.
The camera's not working. Sorry, I don't know.
It might be blocked.
Oh. I'm sorry.
There we go.
A little blocked on there. Excuse me.
I could get it going. So there's quite a bit that happened over the course of Q4. I think we gave some of the updates in as part of the Q3 update. Unfortunately, the school had one of its buildings catch fire in October of 2024. It was planned to be the building that we were going to use for the massage school. So quite a bit of effort was put, and we had, you know, when in August of 24, we had received approval from the Department of Education to be able to start classes in that building. And so quite a bit of advertising and, you know, marketing had been put to try to get massage school students in that new building. And then obviously the turn of events shifted the team strategy to move back to spending the marketing dollars on the aesthetic school. We're in the process of working with the insurance company to recover. The building was insured. We've received quite a bit of money. However, you'll see on the balance sheet, most of that is just plugged into a liability that needs to be paid out. We've received additional money in January. We've paid about half of the obligation. As of January, we've paid half of the obligation related to the rebuild of the building. And we're also expecting to receive from the insurance company. It's kind of tricky because that building wasn't operational. It didn't have students at the time of the loss of the building. And so we're working with the insurance company to be able to recoup business losses based off of budgeted and forecasted students that we anticipated, as well as the history of the aesthetic school and how it's done over time. And so we expect to recoup some business loss as well that will help the school and overall financials to be able to sustain. And at the same time, Kaylin's also putting additional funds from herself as well into the school to be able to sustain. But I think the shift in advertising back to the aesthetic school, which has been kind of the main source for the school over countless years, will help to get us back to profitability. We had a slight loss due to the slowdown in Q4, et cetera. So that's kind of a high level. I'm more than happy to answer any questions.
Mr. Ball.
No questions or comments.
Okay. But I'll take that as a comment, actually. You had an operating loss on the educational side. You did have a significant other income that more than covered that. You had $274,803 in other income. Is that right?
Yeah, that was the money from the insurance, and with that we recorded.
Oh, okay. Yeah, so there was a $46,000 loss.
Yes.
And the other income, the net income, I'm not sure if that's income, but, do you guys get audited or you get an independent accountant?
Yeah, we haven't. Right. They usually audit us around the April and May timeframe. So they'll work with the auditor.
All right. You guys can duke it out with the auditors on that. Okay. And then, it says that you guys are on HCM1. Is that true?
Yes.
Okay. And you, how long has that been now?
Feels like a long time.
3 months.
We have reached out to the department, and we were hoping, we just had our accreditation visit. We were hoping to be able to find out when we would be released from that, if that would be the case. But okay. Unfortunately,
you have a composite score. I didn't see it in.
Last I we checked, I believe it was a 1.9.
Okay, I think you need 2 years over 1.5. Mm-hmm. So I don't know. We'll find out.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Well, hopefully, maybe your R will be done by the June meeting, and look forward to seeing you guys there. Yeah.
Sounds good. Thank you.
Thank you.
Well, moving on.
Hello, everyone. I am Michael Chalk. I am the Director of Finance for United Aviate Academy. I also have Michael Hale, Suzanne, and Ms. here with me on the line. I'm the last thing between you all and lunch, so I'll try to make this quick. Again, thanks to Jacqueline and Mr. LaMountain. They've been instrumental in getting us to this point. I will just give a quick update of what's going on here at the Academy. Our two-year audit is in process for 23 and 24, and they will both be delivered by 6/30/25, so we will be caught back up with our audits. I did send over the United Airlines 10-K this morning to Jacqueline, so you all can review that. Of course, that's our parent company. They had a very big 2024. And we are moving forward with accreditation once our two-year audit is done, so we will get reaccredited with a new accreditation. We graduated 72 students in 2023, 154 students in 2024, and 27 so far in 2025. And our goal for this year is 175. As of the end of February, our revenues were over about 15%, so we are having a good year. We are at 242 students as of today. We're looking to increase that to 325 by sometime this summer. Just to show our investment in Arizona, we are purchasing 3 new planes this year, but we delivered later this year, and we have options for 7 more in 2026. Another thing that we've done is we've renovated a building that's been shut down ever since we opened. And it's got about 100 dorm rooms in it. It will open in April. So that gives us the ability to have 100 more students here on campus living, which makes it easier for their training. Our 2025 loss is estimated to be $23.1 million, and we do have that financial support letter from United up to $25.6 million. Of that $23.1 million, not all of that is cash loss. There's about $8 million worth of depreciation. So we do have quite a buffer there, but United is agreed to fund us. Were there any questions on the quarterly report?
Hold on 1 second.
No questions for me.
I'm just looking at your cash position. How are you guys for cash?
Right now we have about $6 million in the bank. And anytime we need cash, we just send over a request to United.
Could you connect me with who is the person that
exactly
contacted at United?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, based on your prodigious losses over the last couple of years and We're gonna look forward to seeing you on a quarterly basis.
Yes.
And so I'm gonna I don't know if I need to make a motion to ask the to require a quarterly reporting. Is that
Jacqueline, aren't they on quarterly, or have we not done that?
Yeah, yet? They're on quarterly reporting.
So okay. I don't know. In the report, it says require the institution to go on quarterly financial reporting.
Did I miss that? Let me check it. Sorry.
Okay.
So no.
Jacqueline, the Mountain one.
Yeah. Did you take one away from Jacqueline? Okay. Yeah, thank you.
I'll be removing that. I apologize. Hey, last one of the day.
And Dr. Mittman and Mr. Ball, I would like to call out.
She corrected it. She gets back her her 12th.
I would like to call out United Aviate for being very open. And I've been out there a couple of times. Our last conversation that we had at the facility was very good. You know, they're working diligently with compliance. So I just wanted to take a minute to thank everybody from United Aviate for doing everything that you've been doing. I appreciate it. It's, you know, it's complicated because of your relation with the United Airlines, but I came away from our last meeting just feeling very positive about everything. So thank you.
Thank you. We appreciate your support.
You want to say something nice about Mr. LaMountain now? Speaking.
Always good thing.
All right. Well, no, really, thanks for, you know, it's wonderful to have a school like yours in Arizona. You're glad that you guys are here.
Thank you.
All right. I think we're adjourned.
We are.
This is what we get for having, I think we skipped a month. We have like a month with no meeting. And so this is the payback for it. So thanks. And Ms. Cardullo, it's always nice to see you.
Good job, everybody.
And I just want to acknowledge Jacqueline.
Did that put her back up to 12 again?
No, she's like 13 now. Okay. All right. Thanks you guys. Have a wonderful, and thanks for, you know, all of the, you know, everybody says, I can't remember who it was, but about why they come to Arizona. That's pretty cool. It says a lot about our staff, and I'll throw one kudo in for the board, also. And our association here. I mean, that's, you know, our private school association makes a difference too. Hey, Keith, sorry. I think you fared worse than Kevin. And Kevin was just like, you know, I was hunting for a compliment.
Yeah, I just threw a check mark to Jacqueline during this meeting and then glad you threw Kevin a bone.
All right. Well, obviously we're all hypoglycemic, so let's go eat.
Okay. All right, thank you all.
Bye. Thank you.
Bye-bye.